Go ahead and open your hymnals to hymn number 298 and mark that for the end of the service. I'll live for him. Is that right? Did I get the wrong number?
No, I just didn't put it on.
Oh. And then open your Bibles if you wish to follow along in your Bible or follow along on the screen as we read from Ephesians. Chapter 5, be reading verses 6 through 16. So would you please stand in honor of and respect for the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired, written Word of God, and for the God of the written Word. Ephesians, chapter 5. Verses 6 through 16, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Heavenly Father, as we've opened your word and as we have read your word, we ask that you bless the reading. And Father, we just ask now that you speak to our hearts, remove the darkness from our eyes this morning, that we may see your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I have a question or two or three or four for you this morning. What happens when darkness and light commingle? What happens when we take our light and we put it in a dark place? Can the darkness overwhelm the light? Is there fellowship between light and darkness? Is the believer to be separated from the world? Okay. How many of you know what a word picture is? Have you ever heard of a word picture? Have you ever played that game, you know, where you get up and someone tries to figure out what picture you're describing without saying anything? Well, you know, I believe that the human mind processes word pictures better than any other form of communication. For example, when I say, "That's like looking for a needle in a haystack," what do you think of? Or what do you think of if I were to say, "He is making a mountain out of a molehill"? Or what do you think of if I were to say, "Light versus darkness"? Personally, I believe that there is no better way to describe where we are spiritually than through word pictures. You see, word pictures can describe where we were before we became a Christian versus where we are today after trusting Christ as our Savior and Lord. For example, darkness is a picture of where we were living without Christ. Whereas light portrays where we are today as we live in Christ Jesus. On the most part, when you move from a dark room into a light room, or you're in a dark room and someone reaches over and flips the light switch on, that's pretty abrupt change. You go, whoa! Causing us to winch and to enter as we enter into the light of that room. But there are some people that the transition may not be so severe. They're winching at the light may not be all that bad because, you see, possibly they've not been in the deep darkness of that room. Maybe they've been standing back by the door as the door was opened, and gradually, or just in just a little bit of the dark room, and then the light came on. It wouldn't be quite so drastic a change for them. Well, I'm mentioning all this because on several occasions, I have mentioned that when I was 6 years old, that's when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I trusted Him as my Savior and made Him Lord of my life. Now, for me, as a six-year-old boy, when I came from darkness or sin into light, salvation, my darkness was not as deep into sin as perhaps someone who was saved, let's say, at the age of 45 or 55 or even 85. The point I'm trying to make here is that my life may not have had a dramatic change as a six-year-old boy, but because I wasn't involved in the drug culture of that day, or I wasn't involved in illicit sex, or I wasn't involved in all of the things that we think about when a person comes from the dark side of sin to become a believer. You see, but my life then, as a six-year-old boy, was changed dramatically. You see, before, when I was not a Christian, although I wasn't in all of the darkness that there was, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, my life was changed just as much as the individual's life was changed who was 55 or 85 and had been living in illicit sin all of their life and then gave their heart to Jesus Christ. My life was changed just as much as their life was changed. And on that morning, Sunday morning in 1949, I am so glad that I gave my life and my heart to Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And I'm glad I was reborn and given eternal life. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 tells us. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses," the darkness, okay, "made us alive together with Christ in the light through salvation. By grace you have been saved." Paul tells us in verse 8 of chapter 5, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, When you and I were born physically, we were born into sin and darkness through the sin of Adam and Eve. Then, by the grace of our Lord, we were saved, brought into His light because of our faith in Him. Then Paul goes on to say that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are born again in Christ. Therefore, you are no longer in the darkness of sin because you are in His light. Maybe you're sitting there saying, okay, Brother Cliff, I understand, but I have a question. How do I, as a person who was once in darkness, how do I live in the light? The answer is given to us in our text. It tells us that we are to walk in the light. We are to live, to do everything in our life in a way that shows the world that our walk is different. And that the way that we live our life is different. Paul says in verse 8, walk in the light. Obviously, if we have the light of the world living in us, now that's a capital L-I-G-H-T, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, because He said, I am the light of the world. If we have the light of the world living in us, then walking in His life is the natural outcome. And because we are walking in His light, our lifestyle will be exactly the opposite of one walking in darkness. For you see, walking in His light is the total opposite of all the characteristics of the lifestyle of darkness. It is the total opposite of what Paul was describing for us before we came to the light. Paul is drawing a sharp contrast now between the way the things were and the way things are to be today. That's why he says in verse 8, walk in the light. Then in verse 9, he says to walk in the Spirit. And the Scripture says, for the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, the best way for a person to show that he or she is a new creature in Christ Jesus is by the way that they live their lives. It's not a written out testimony. That is, one that's just been written out on a piece of paper. It's good to take our testimony and to think about how we were saved and how we gave our heart to Christ. That's good, and it's good to write it down. But folks, what I'm saying is, that's not what people see. You see, people see the change in our lives. That's the visible testimony that speaks to them. So, if your neighbor sees a difference in you because you've become a Christian, that's a good thing. However, if your neighbor didn't even know that you were a Christian, that's not a good thing. And that's not a good thing because, you see, that means that you were not letting your light, His light, shine through you to the world. Now, Paul tells us that there are at least five things that you and I as Christians need to totally separate ourselves from. And we're going to talk about three of those things this morning. The five are fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. Now, the first of the three that I want to look at is believers have to separate themselves from their own sin, their own personal sin. You see, our new life in Christ demands that we be separated from the life that we had before we came to know Christ as Savior. Colossians chapter 3 is very specific about that. It says that you are to put to death your members which are on the earth. He says if you're a new person, a believer in Christ, meaning a new person, you have to separate yourself from personal sin. Now, there's no place in the life of a believer for habitually committing the same sin over and over and over again. Now that you're a Christian, now that you're a new creature in Christ. Number two, the Bible says you and I are to separate ourselves from false religious teachers. You see, when you know a teaching is incorrect and you see it on the television, either change the channel or turn it off. Don't sit there and keep listening to the garbage that's there. It's not going to do anything but just bring about confusion and frustration in your life. Get rid of it. When someone comes to your door and you know that they are presenting a false religion, don't invite them in to have cookies. Don't invite them in to discuss anything, folks. The Bible is very clear about this. 2 John verses 10 and 11 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the teaching that Paul is teaching about faith in Jesus Christ, okay, his teaching there, do not receive him into your house. That's pretty blunt, okay? And do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. When they come to my door and I realize who they are, I will offer to pray for them. 99, and you know who I'm talking about. 99.999% of the time, they say no, and they'll turn around and leave. They will not allow me to pray for them. I do not get into a discussion with them at all, because of what the Scripture says right there. Now, folks, I didn't say that. The Scripture says it. The Holy Spirit, through John, wrote it down. You see, we are not to debate false teachers, and we are not to invite them in to discuss their religion. Now, there are some that God has called to be able to talk to them and leave that to them. Don't you assume that unless God has specifically anointed you with the knowledge and the ability to do that. Romans chapter 16 verse 17 says, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. The King James Version says that we are to mark them and avoid them. The New Living Translation says that we are to stay away from them. Now, that's pretty clear. Number three, as believers, we have to separate ourselves from outright worldliness. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Now, when John says not to love the world, folks, he is not saying that we are not to love the people in the world. The word world there is cosmos. It simply means the world system. We're not to love the way that this world does its business. We're not to love the way the world operates. But because, you see, the world operates on principles of Satan. And for us to love what the world does, or to love the way the world thinks, or to love the way the world talks, or even to love the music of the world, is basically saying that we love the things of Satan more than we love the things of God. Now, I am not knocking Christian contemporary music. Okay? Don't read that into what I'm saying. There's a strong message that can be presented and reached out to those. I'm talking about the world music, the heavy, sinful rap stuff that we have. Okay? So, for us to love these things makes us then an enemy of God. And I don't believe that any of us want to be an enemy of God. I don't. And I'm sure you don't want to either. We just don't want to be legalistic in recognizing that the wisdom of God causes us to separate ourselves from the evilness of the world. Have to ask for His wisdom as we approach this. The word separation simply means I'm going to separate myself from this kind of activity so that I can let my light shine to a world that needs me to be salt and light. The world needs to see us. Christ did fellowship with the people in the world. He rubbed elbows with the people in the world, even with those who were about to crucify Him. He rubbed elbows with them, trying to teach them and preach to them the truth of the Scripture. You see, His light was shining, but they refused it. Paul has been talking about letting our light shine in the world. And in order to do that, there has to be a certain characteristic about our lives that are different from the lives upon which we want our life, our light to shine. If my light is no different than anyone else's in the world, in the sinful world, they're not going to look at me and they're not going to say, I want what he has. No, they've already got it in their mind. Our light is to shine and reflect Christ. The reason we take our light to the world is because there are unbelievers, as Paul Shepherd says, not yet believers, who need the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. However, shining believers are the reason our light is diminished. I'm sinning. Yeah, I know I said that didn't sound right when I said that. Sinning. I did put sinning up. Yes, okay. Sinning believers, okay. The believers that lights aren't shining. Sinning believers are the reason our light is diminished. It's why so many people say, yeah, right. And they go on living their own life. And Paul has been laying out these characteristics very carefully and very deliberately without backing away from any of them. Folks, we are not just a reflector of the light. We're not just a pawn in some big game. We're not just a small-time player. Folks, we are the light. Why? Because Christ is in us and we are in Christ. Christ is in the Father. The Father is in Christ. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Have I gotten my point across? We are because of that. Because of our faith in Him, we are the light to this dark world. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But when He left, He said, you are the light of the world. Jesus ascended, and then He's bestowed that honor and that privilege upon us to be the light of the world. Therefore, I'm not here just to reflect light, folks. I am here. I am the light of the world. And that's why my life cannot be characterized by any of the other kinds of things that Paul's been talking about here. I have to be totally separated from these things, because if I'm not, I'm going to diminish the importance of why I was saved in the first place. Paul says in verse 13, all things are made manifest by the light. That is to say, the gospel message that I have to give to you today is going to change your life today, because it's going to take the darkness out of your life. And it's going to put light into your life. Let me ask you three questions. If you strike a match in a pitch black cave, what happens? Yeah. You may not see brightly, but it's not pitch dark anymore. How many have ever been to Carlsbad Cavern, New Mexico? You're missing a thrill. I grew up at Eunice, New Mexico, 90 miles from there. Every time folks came to visit us, we went. I could walk Carlsbad with the lights out and never stumbled. We went so many times. But the point I'm leading up to is this. I don't think they do this anymore, but they used to. They would take us down, and there was a place the group would stop, and the ranger would have us all stop in a certain place. And they would say, now, if you have an iridescent watch, put your hand over the watch. Cover it up. He said, folks, we are fixing to turn the lights out. If you have children with you, explain to them that it's going to be so dark they won't be able to see their hand in front of their face. And so after everybody was ready and everybody had covered up their fluorescent glowing watches, they turned those lights off. And I tell you, I have never experienced blackness and darkness in my whole life as that. And then he said, now, if you have an iridescent watch, take your hand off. And I thought, wow, man, just that glowing was amazing of how it began to brighten up the darkness that was there. I remember reading a story about Robert Louis Stevenson, the man who wrote Treasure Island. It said that one day when he was a boy, he was sitting at his window when it was raining outside, and he, as he watched an old lamplighter go from lamp to lamp, lighting the lamps of these old gas lamps, his mother came in and said, Robert, you gotta get away from the window. You're gonna catch your death of pneumonia. But he couldn't do it. He was so taken back by what he was watching. And finally he said, Mom, there's a man out there poking holes in the darkness. If my life is dulled because of sin, folks, then the smaller the hole is going to be that I poke in that darkness. In order to get the bright light, we must be like God. And to be like God, we must know Him personally. Verse 1 says that we are to be imitators, followers of God as dear children. Therefore, the more that I imitate the Father, the more darkness I can poke holes in. Is your life poking holes in the darkness around you? Or is the darkness engulfing you? You know, if you follow Jesus, the darkness will not be able to engulf you at all. Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Another question. Do you have the light of life living in you? If you can, you will simply be poking holes in the darkness. But if you can't say that you have the light of Him living in you, then simply ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, of all that you've committed, and to come into your heart and into your life as your Savior and as your Lord. Today, if you've trusted sitting here or listening on the web, if you have trusted Christ the very first time, then I want to ask you to commit your life to Him. To let me know in some way here this morning to come and to let me know that you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And I will pray with you. And I will give you words that and information that will help you to grow strong in the Lord and to be able to walk in the light daily and to poke more holes in the darkness. Christian brother or sister, is your life pleasing to God? Is the light shining brightly through you in the places of darkness in this world? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation song 298, I'll Live for Him. And when we do, will you, if you've made that decision this morning, will you make that decision public? Maybe you've made it before, but you've never made it public. Come and make it public this morning, because Jesus says in Luke and in Matthew that we are to confess Him before the world and before people. And if we do, He will then confess us before the angels and before the Father in heaven. So would you do that this morning? Let me know this morning. As we stand and as we sing, will you make that decision for Christ today? Will you live for Him as Christ is shining in your life?